Good morning. There is a lot of evidence that the summer is drawing to an end. Students are coming back to the university where I teach. A couple of weeks ago, after Jeff invited me to preach, I opened up and read today's gospel, and I knew my leisure was over for the summer. And our summer vacation is over. Scott and I just took a lovely vacation. Road trip up the coast to Mendocino, where we enjoyed beautiful scenery along the bluffs of Mendocino. We took hikes in the redwoods up near Arcata, drove over to Ashland to see a play. The trip was especially poignant for me because we took the same trip that my family took when I was about 12. And so I'll admit that Scott had to hear me say repeatedly, "Oh, I remember Trees of Mystery. I was here when I was 12. I remember Curiosity Hill. I remember that tree that you can drive through." When we actually went to those places, however, I sometimes fell into silence. Because when we got to Chandler Tree and actually drove through the tree for the first time in my life, I remembered when I was 12, and I remember the arguments we had in the car. Four kids, two parents. "Can't we drive through the tree?" "No, you have to pay money to do that. We're not going to spend good money to drive through a tree." When we drove past the Trees of Mystery, I remember a real catfight I had with my sister. We started scratching and clawing at one another. I don't remember what it was all about, but I remember there was a vicious fight in the car. I didn't want to share all those memories with Scott. We tend not to want to remember those visceral disagreements that we've had. We tend not to want to share those memories of our vacations. We usually don't want to talk about the stuff because it's so visceral. It pulls us out of our tranquil spot. We want to remember and we want to assume that our family life is tranquil. Now, on one reading of today's gospel, you could say that my family was merely living out the gospel life on that family road trip. Jesus said, "Do you think I came here to bring peace? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two against three. They will be divided, father against son against father, mother against daughter against mother." Yeah, I know that Jesus had more important things that he was talking about than family road trips and cranky kids and tired parents. But he also knew how families could push each other's buttons. He was a shrewd observer of human psychology and human relationships. He knew that the tough choices he was offering people would lead to conflicts within families. I actually don't think he was trying to promote this conflict per se. But when people in relationships of any kind have important decisions to make, and not so important decisions to make, conflict happens. So I'd like to explore this subject of conflict and division today. And I'd like to start that by turning to this image. Does everyone have an image? Mm-hmm. Who is this warrior? Any ideas?
No ideas? Jesus?
No, it's not Jesus. But you'd think after today's reading it could be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry? It's not St. Francis. No, but that's an interesting assumption. He was a warrior. Before his conversion, he certainly was a warrior. Any other ideas?
Richard
the Lionheart?
Yeah.
You'd think he was a king, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? Who this is? This is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yeah. It dates from the 9th century, Carolingian Europe. So Charlemagne, he expanded the Christian empire through force, through military endeavors. We usually see images of the Virgin Mary this way. her eyes cast down, we're often wearing blue, and hands held out. I'll just pass this image around for another iconic image of Mary. But what do you see in this image that I've passed around of the Virgin Mary?
Ferocity.
She is fierce, isn't she? She is standing in a very solid and fierce way. Could I ask you just to stand, sit like she is? Put yourself in that position. Arms like this. How do you feel?
Defensive.
Defensive? Strong. Yeah. Can't be pushed over easily. She's not demure. She's actually looking right at you, isn't she? She's wearing armor. She has military garb. We're starting with this image of the Virgin Mary for several reasons. First of all, in the Catholic Church, you know I'm Roman Catholic. Today is a big Marian feast day, so I just had to bring in Mary into this environment today. But I think this image from the 9th century highlights the belligerence that is deeply steeped into the Christian tradition. We see it hinted, or maybe not so hinted, in our gospel reading today. And note that this gospel reading in Luke parallels Matthew's version in Matthew 10, verse 34, where he says, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Specifically says a sword. Both passages from today's gospel in Luke and its parallel passage in Matthew seem to support, even promote, a faith in which hostility and belligerence are accepted. Now, this image of Mary dressed as a warrior, albeit with some reluctance, I think you see some reluctance in her face, reinforces the war that many Christians throughout the history of the church have believed that they must righteously wage. Throughout Christian history, we see it in the Middle Ages with the Crusades, we see it in the 16th century Reformations, where both Catholics and Protestants were martyred. And we see it in the brutal conversions through colonization starting in the early modern period. The Christian faith has been promoted through real, physical, bloody combat throughout its history. How many of you are comfortable with that? How do you feel about that? How did you feel in your body when I read the gospel reading today? It's one aspect. That's a placid response.
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Conflicted.
Conflicted.
Human.
Human. I think we see vestiges of this belligerent form of our Christian faith continue today. You just have to turn on the news on any given moment, actually. Should a mosque be built at Ground Zero? Lots of debate, a lot of belligerent rhetoric. Who should be allowed to marry? A lot of belligerent rhetoric on both sides. Is this the faith we choose to adhere, this belligerent faith? One that promotes violence, abuse of coercion, and hostility. I actually don't think this is what Jesus had in mind when he said he came to bring division. Even if Matthew's version is a more accurate wording with, "I came to bring the sword," I don't think Jesus here was actively teaching and promoting a violent or divisive response to his teachings. Instead, I think Jesus was aware that his teachings would be received in a way that would divide families and could inspire violence. He understood that his religious leadership and his revolutionary new way that he was teaching would bring about division among families, could bring about violence, but his direct intention was not to promote this division or violence. He was offering people a brand new choice in faith that circumvented traditions, time-honored rules. Such a choice necessarily tore families apart and continues to do so. How many of you have seen Martin Scorsese's film, The Last Temptation of Christ? just a handful of you. I highly recommend it. In that film, there's a poignant scene in which Jesus is preaching peace and love and forgiveness and helping the poor. And at that moment, when he talks about helping the poor, the crowd around him erupts in a violent response and believes that he is promoting revolution. He takes his message, they take his message and change it into a violent response. It's a misinterpretation of his intention. I think Jesus' statement has been misunderstood and misused. Jesus taught a faith based on love and forgiveness, and he knew that his teachings would be received with conflict. Division happens when choices need to be made. Now, if you live within a family, if you live within a faith community, you probably have experienced that one reality of living in relationship is that people disagree on decisions about just about everything, from what to have for dinner, how to live out religious faith. So how do we live with disagreements, these divisions that Jesus acknowledged would erupt between us? This brings me to another reason why I started off with the image of the Virgin Mary. I teach at a Roman Catholic seminary. My students are from different denominations within the Christian church and different faiths. And whenever I teach anything related to the Virgin Mary, devotional practices or the history of the image of Mary, I can tell it's going to be one of the most volatile classes of the semester. Students become angry. Students become bored or quiet. They won't engage in conversation. Some students become dismissive. And some students, if I've actually followed the syllabus and I'm on schedule, which I'm often not, they will plan not to attend class that day because they don't want to deal with the Virgin Mary. She presses buttons. She pushes your buttons. Now, I guess we already have had enough material to work with today's Gospels in terms of pushing our buttons, but I wanted to push your buttons with Mary. What is your reaction to the Blessed Virgin Mary here in our Swedenborgian church? What thoughts came to mind when I pulled her out?
Enigma.
Enigma? That's vague.
Sure, that statue or both?
Both. The image of the Virgin Mary. How often do you engage with the Virgin Mary in this parish?
Not that often.
In fact, I did a little bit of research and I contacted a couple Swedenborgian ministers and I said, what's the role of Mary in your tradition? We don't deal with her. We don't want to deal with her. I always thought that was Margaret. I always thought that was St. Margaret.
That's what I heard.
And how is she included in your liturgies?
Only in passing, I would say. She's not at the central figure.
Mm-hmm. Joy?
From my upbringing, Mary was essentially passed out of the history as soon as Jesus got to 12.
Yeah.
My first reaction was irrelevant.
Yeah, interesting. I wanted to bring in, either through the gospel readings today or through the image of Mary, something that would push your buttons, something that would hook you, something that would make you go onto autopilot, what the Tibetan Buddhists call Shenpa. Among Tibetan Buddhists, they use the term Shenpa to refer to this hook or this experience of having your buttons pushed. Sometimes it's translated as attachment. You become so attached to something, you have this automatic reaction. Pema Chodron says the better translation is getting hooked by something. She talks about Shenpa in a lot of her retreats and books. Shenpa is that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach, the tightening in your chest, when someone offends you or disturbs you to the core, when someone pushes your buttons and you automatically react without thought, without even conscious will. You might roll your eyes. You might fly off the cuff in anger. You might leave the room or the parish. Pema Chodron writes, in terms of Shenpa itself, there's the tightening that happens involuntarily. Then there's the urge to move away from it in some habitual way, which is usually initially in the mind. And it's something you say to yourself about them, that is the other person. Usually, it's accompanied by a bad feeling. In the West, she continues, it's very, very common at that point to turn it against yourself. Something is wrong with me. I would add here that in the West, there's similarly a tendency to turn it against the other person or other people involved. There is something wrong with them. We turn to judgment at this moment when we experience this Shenpa. This habitual movement to react cultivates discord and disharmony in any community or in any relationship. This is true even when the reaction is to leave, to escape the discomfort of a situation. This is the kind of discord I would suggest that Jesus had in mind, this Shenpa that family members experience out of their real concern for one another, which often happens and is a result in trying to control one another in making important decisions about faith, about community life. In Jesus' words, three members of the family choose to become his followers, and two members choose to remain Jews or followers of the Roman gods. What results? I'd say it's Shenpa. Shenpa results in a family when a daughter chooses to become Swedenborgian, when the parents are Roman Catholic. Shenpa occurs in a church family when a longtime member leaves a parish. These are gut reactions, the spontaneous arguments or attempts to coerce someone to change their decisions. These spontaneous reactions to the Shenpa cause the division. That's what Jesus knew would occur. But is there another response than Jesus' matter-of-fact acceptance that division would happen? What Pema Chodron speaks of as an antidote, and what I think does lie at the heart of what Swedenborg writes about, there's a passage in the program for today when he writes about the spiritual realm and the need for harmony among spirits. And that is the need to stay with the discomfort, to notice the Shenpa arise in you, to be aware of urges to judge, to flee, to react, and to stay. To stay with the process involved in having differences with one another. Staying without giving in to the urge to react is no easy feat and requires practice. Doesn't mean becoming a doormat. It does mean becoming aware of the process. Jesus himself was aware that most of the people he spoke to would be unable to stay without judging, to stay without reacting. This is the division he knew his teachings would cause. In the end, though, I think we don't need to accept division as the only outcome of Jesus' teaching, even if division is probably the most common outcome. Naturally, today, in this exploration of Shenpa, I'm just touching on the very surface of the wisdom of this Buddhist teaching. And Pema Chodron's explorations of Shenpa in particular warrants further study and practice. But I think her teachings are a good starting place to begin reconciling, on the one hand, Jesus' matter-of-fact acceptance of the division his teachings would bring. And on the other hand, the world many of us want to live in. Live in relationships that are loving and respectful, in a parish that is vibrant and fresh, and in a world of peace and harmony.